But I didn't go over to the dark side of the force. Not on the dark side. But for many years, people have really studied the numbers. Now, the idea of numbers meaning something is that God is a God of order, right? His word is an ordered word. When he spoke over the chaos, it brought everything into order. Well, within the Bible, there are numbers. And so it would only stand to reason that, each number has meanings. And there are people who, I'm not a scholar in it, but people who are scholars have studied it, and I find it interesting, so I try to incorporate it. Anyway, so last week I talked about the 20th year. 21, let's start with the number 21. 21 is a combination, a multiplication of two numbers, 3 and 7. 3 being the divine perfection, and 7 being divine order. So when you multiply these two, anytime numbers are multiplied, there's an intensification of the two meanings. So, but that would be next year, 21. So if you take 20 and you minus 1, you get 20. If you get 21 and you minus 1, you get 20. So that speaks about an anticipation or an expectation. So we're expecting that something is about to come about that has divine order and divine perfection. When our church was birthed, we didn't just decide to do it. I was in music and I was in business and various other things, and it was as big a surprise to me as anyone else. And there was no church, and suddenly God said, "I want you to do this thing," and I'm like, "What?" And he says, "Oh." And he gives a vision, is my point. And his vision is always spoken out of his word. It's confirmed by his word. And for us, it was Isaiah 58. I'm not going to read it all now, but there were promises that God made 20 years ago that, we didn't really see a lot of. And basically here we are 20 years later and we have not too many people. I mean, there were points when we had like 130, 150, like that. And then just to watch the things, the ebb and flow. And I was wondering, Lord, what are you doing? Anyway, so I was asking God, what is the story with this, you made promises, and I want to share with you today. This message is called, it's the second part of last week's message. You won't miss anything. I'll touch on various things as we go. But this message is called RCF, Restoration Christian Fellowship, 20th year, and the four waits. Because waiting is an integral part of anticipation and expectation. And so there are Hebrew words that speak about waiting that can give us insight, I believe, not to just what happened back then, but not only to give an explanation of what's happened in these past 20 years, but even going forward, what we can look forward to. And listen, anytime that God wants to give us an understanding of things that are mystical, and let's face it, Christianity, you realize, is a mystical religion, really. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, God becoming man. I mean, well, it's just an incredible story. It's not a natural story. It's a supernatural story. And we need to be able to embrace that without being afraid, that we're going to be overtaken by the dark. Because we're not. The Holy Spirit lives within us. And he loves us enough to correct us. If we make a mistake, he's going to correct us. We'll make plans. He directs our steps, right? I believe that. And I believe God loves us enough. Gosh, if he loved us enough to take the form of man, right? Because Jesus was God, man, and die for us who were yet sinners. Do you think he could deal with making a couple of mistakes here and there and not give us a way out of it? I think he does. I think he does. So anyway, last week I was reading from Romans 4, and I did because the bishop that installed me, this was the message that he not only spoke to the congregation that was there that day, but spoke over me in particular. And he said, of Abraham, he said that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And then it said that Abraham was fully persuaded. And the reason he could do that is because Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is God still able to perform what he, right? So, do you realize that Abraham waited 10 years, or it was nearly 10 years from when God gave him the promise that he was going to be the father of many nations? He's 90 years old. God gives him this promise that's, come on, seems impossible. in the natural it is impossible. And the guy can wait 10 years believing God, and he staggered not in unbelief for 10 years. So my question was, and he became strong in faith. He was strong in the faith. So my question was, how do you do that? How do you do that? And I think it's an important question that we all need to ask, because aren't we challenged every day? We love God, we're Christian people, we read the Word, we do the things of God. But if we're honest, we have to say there's always a little bit of doubt in the back of our minds. There were always, So the first thing I was realizing as I was asking God about it, that having faith in God is not something that comes easy to anybody. It's not an easy thing, having faith all the time. The other thing is that faith is not an absolute. It's not you got faith and you always have faith. Faith is a fluid thing, just as God is a fluid thing. Faith is fluid. There's an ebb and a flow. And there's sometimes you're absolutely concerned that God is on the, and you're right, and God is right there, and he's moving, and you know it. You don't have a doubt. And then there's other times when you're not so sure. But people of faith continue to go through the motion. See, it doesn't mean you don't have any faith because you're continuing on something that you believe God has spoken through his word or through a prophetic word or whatever it might be, a calling that you have in your life. It doesn't mean that you don't have faith if you have doubt. It means the opposite, because the very definition of faith is that you're going to believe stuff that you don't absolutely know, because once you absolutely know it, it's not faith any longer, is it? There are just times when you're certain and other times when you're going through the motions. And that's everybody. And it's never easy. And I want to go, I want to take it one step further. I say that to have faith, you need an ebb and flow. You need times of doubt. Because by its own definition, and I'm going to use Hebrews 11:1 in the New Living Translation, it says that faith is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It's the evidence of things that we cannot yet see. If faith requires us to believe something that we have not yet seen, that sort of implies to me that there are going to be times when you're not really going to believe it because you haven't seen it yet. But yet you continue to move in it regardless of that doubt. Regardless of the doubt, you move. And that step itself is faith. It's the seed of faith. It's the mustard seed, the little bit of faith that Jesus was talking about. So don't be discouraged. Anyway, getting back to Romans 4, in verse 20, it says that Abraham was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and he was strengthened in his assurance. This is the way I took it. He was strengthened in his assurance, because faith is the assurance, right? So he was strengthened in his faith. He was strengthened in his assurance. How did that happen? How did that happen? Well, when you read the thing, it says that he was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God. And so when I said that, I said, wow. I felt the Lord just turn the light bulb over. The first step in continuing in growing and strengthening in faith is to be praising God, giving God glory. Now, we've often talked about it in the church here. It's a sacrifice many times to give God glory. It's a sacrifice of praise. It's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. But it's never a sacrifice of worship, is it? You'll never see that written in the Bible anywhere. It's never a sacrifice of worship. Worship, see, we come to God, we're giving him praise, even when we don't feel like it, but we're doing it as an act of faith. Right? So God, what does it say? It says that God inhabits or is enthroned on the praise of his people. God shows up. When God shows up, that Spirit of God touches your spirit, my spirit. And the response that our spirits have is worship. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the first step, we give glory to God. We give praise to God. Strength starts to come because God inhabits the praise of his people. And when God's on the scene, we get strengthened, right? Now, I have to tell you, we lead worship. There are many times I don't really feel like getting up and doing the songs. I don't feel like practicing the night before. And, you know, we don't just, like, throw it together. It's a whole commitment. Even though it doesn't matter how many people, if there were one of you here, we do it at home for ourselves. Not that we're doing it for ourselves, we're doing it for the Lord. But there are times when I'm just like, really, I could stay home and do these songs, you know? I don't feel like praising. But I remember Abraham. I remember that he waited 10 years. And during that 10 years, the only way that he could make it through, I'm assured, is that he kept on praising God, and it gave him strength to continue. If we're going to continue the walk that we want, you know, toward God, and we want to grow in God, and we want to know more about God, and we want to become more like Jesus, we want to complete the commission. And to complete the commission, the world can't see us in our religious understanding of the word, our speaking down at people. We have to reflect the Christ. We have to become the Christ. The Christ is within us. We have to awaken to it and then allow it to come out. And that is what's going to draw people to the Lord. And Abraham took him 10 years. But he believed, and I'm sure during that 10 years there was an ebb and flow of his faith. But he continued with his praise. Yes. So, there's another element right there. As he's praising, what is he doing? He's waiting 10 years. Now, was he praising continuously for 10 years? No, there was probably an ebb and flow of it, which is okay. But there are several different words now that I noticed in the scripture in Hebrew that refers to waiting, and I think there's some keys in there. And I think that as we think about Abraham, we can think about our own testimonies and our own walks at this point. Most of us here, I think, I don't know you folks, but you look like you've been walking with God for a while. You're not novices in this, so I'm sure you have your experiences in God yourself. So maybe this will ring true. And I don't think that it's a mistake that you're here today, too. You know, this is a word for our church, but it's also not just for, we're the church. We're all the church. Those who hear God, it's not that you belong to RCF. That's our fellowship, and you're certainly welcome to join us in our fellowship. But we're the church. So people who have an ear to hear, Jesus said, let them hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church. So hopefully you're going to hear something here today, hopefully. All right, the first word for waiting, the first Hebrew word for waiting means to wait with quiet trust. And that's a form of waiting that can only come through developing a deep relationship with the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but the way that my relationship with the Lord has developed is that I have failed incredibly. And God has rushed in and picked me up and loved me when I absolutely did not feel, Gil, worthy. Because I wasn't worthy, really. But it doesn't have to do with my worthiness. Right. But you got to come to that realization, right? It has to come to the fact that Jesus Christ did the work and lives in us, and he is our righteousness. The blood of Christ covers the lintels and doorposts of our spirits, our souls, and our bodies. And if we remember to apply it every day, it's not that it brings more effect. It's effective already, but it brings to our attention a truth that gets, it gets repressed by the things of the world. So we need to bring it to the forefront. We need to remember these things. It's not a religious exercise, but we do it for remembrance to our own souls. So it's waiting with quiet trust that comes through a deep relationship. I think Abraham's faith ebbed, and when it did, he would remember the experiences that he had in God. Yeah. Think about all the experiences. He called him out of this land, out of his land where his people were, and I'm sure he had you know, established relationships and money and whatever else he had there. He said, no, come on. Well, where are we going, Lord? Well, who are you anyway? Well, I don't know. I'm the Lord. Okay, fine. I believe you. Well, go somewhere. Well, where am I going? I'll tell you later. I mean, he had to have some doubts, right? He didn't just, oh, yes. He was a guy. He had doubts. So, but over the years, God had been so faithful to just show up when he needed him. And you know the stories about him. I don't have to go through them. It will take all day, and I'm not going to do that. But you know the stories of that Abraham had to interact, and Abraham and Sarah. And so when it came to this incredible promise of God, he could wait the 10 years in a quiet trust, believing that God was going to follow through. And what we read in the scripture, that he was faithful to not just promise it, but to do it. Why? Because he had already seen God do these incredible works in his life, interact with him, and he trusted God. So anytime that an ebb would come, he would remember these past experiences. And so for us, let's remember the things that God has done. Let's remember. And anytime the temptation comes, we start to feel unworthy, or we feel depressed, or, you know, and let's face it, it's not an easy world, right? It's why it's so important to be in fellowship with other believers, so that we share the testimonies of God's incredible grace toward one another. So even though we may not be experiencing it right at that moment, we can share the experience with our brother or sister who's hearing it, and conversely, and vice versa. And that's the way it works, this ebb and flow within the body of Christ as well. Because remember, the scripture said that it wasn't just for him, it was for us also who believed in him who was the father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? You remember that, the scripture, right? I like speaking to people who read the Bible. This is like incredible. I don't have to read like every... Amen. It's good. And then what happened as time passes, we come to know the Lord well enough, our hearts... Very nice, yes. I wasn't sure. I thought it was the shofar. It was like, we already finished the worship part.
It's praise and worship.
It's praise and worship. Well, let me tell you, that's not nice. Thank you very much. I didn't bless you with any of my jokes today, you know. I did. I could tell them my termite joke. Yeah, termite walks into a bar and says, "Is the bartender here?" They got it. They didn't get it. Okay. I told this joke, like, I promise you, like, every day, every Sunday for 3 months, and I think half the congregation still didn't get it. 6 months. Okay. See, I know they love me when I can tell stupid jokes like that. Yeah. Anyway, so what happens is that as we wait, time passes, and we have these experiences with the Lord, we get to know him well enough that we can trust him even in the worst storms of life. So that when those storms come, we can know, you know what? It's not good right now, but I remember XYZ and God was faithful. Amen? Another word is similar to it, and it means to wait patiently. So the first one is wait with trust. The second one is to wait patiently. And the best way I can tell you this is that, like, 20 years ago, I'm walking on the... I was a musician and a businessman. My business was failing. And I'm walking on the beach because the road that we had to, that we accessed to get to our house, there's only one road in there. A power line had come down, and I couldn't get back to my house. My daughter was sick in the house, and so the Lord tells me, pull the car in the parking lot and walk home. Now, there's 4 miles, and it's getting dark. It's December. I'm not dressed. And on the road, I'm like, what? I argued with him for half an hour. I knew it was the Lord. I did argue. You couldn't really mean that, Lord. I mean, you know, I'm not in shape to walk 4 miles, let alone in this way. Anyway, so I start to walk, and I hear the Lord say, why don't you come into full-time ministry? And I'm like, yeah. Must be hearing things. Anyway, I won't tell you the whole story. But he made promises to me at that time. He made promises to me personally, you know, because I got scared. I was like, there's no church. I mean, it's not like I'm going to go join and get a pastorship in some church. There's no church. Yeah, come into full-time ministry and pastor a church that doesn't exist. And we'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. So 20 years ago, God made this promise, and he made it to me. He also made it for my family because I was concerned. I have four children. We have four children. And they were teenagers. We wanted to go to college, blah, blah, blah. You know, business-wise, that's all I could think about was college for them. And here I was failing in my business. And the Lord says, okay, come into full-time ministry. Now, I had played in a Christian band. We did ministry at churches, and we did ministry in the prisons and stuff like that, but not full-time, you know. Not where you're going to be depending on people to actually give you money to take care of yourself. God, I never believed that. I hated that idea. You know, I liked to give, but I didn't like to be beholding, you know. So that was a big thing. But anyway, 20 years ago, he made promises, and he made promises to me, my family, but also to those who would follow, those who would come to the church. And he spoke it directly out of his word, and I shared it last week. I just recast it, but I'm not going to do it today. I recast it. You can read it yourself. It's in Isaiah 58 and 61. And I took it. I know Isaiah was speaking to Israel, but I took it as God was speaking to me because I believe that he does. You know, if you read with that, with asking the Holy Spirit to show you and speak to you, he will speak to you through the word, personally. And I took it as personal. I believe that God actually said this to me and that he was going to follow through on it. Now, I believe that, well, maybe I would have to wait like a couple of months or maybe a year, you know, if it was going to happen. What I'm trying to say is that if I would have known that it took 20 years to see just the beginning of the fruit of what God spoke 20 years ago, honestly, I don't think that I would have been able to be patient enough to wait. Now, that being said, 20 years later, a bunch of things have happened, as you can imagine, ebb and flow in 20 years, and God has proved himself faithful. And I will tell you, if God made me promises today that seemed impossible, I could wait 20 years. Why? Because I've built an interaction, a rapport with God, a dossier, so to speak, where God has been faithful in impossible situations. I mean, absolutely impossible. Rudy and Liz and several people here have been with us from the beginning, and they could tell you. I mean, it's been incredible. We have no safety net, and God has faithfully. I'm not just talking about, you know, finances and that kind of thing. I'm talking about health wise and every other kind of thing. What we put our hands to, the Lord has been faithful to see it through. Why? Somehow or other, he gave us the grace to wait patiently. So I encourage you, if God has made you promises that you've not seen come to fulfillment yet, or maybe just the beginning of the fruit, wait patiently for him. When you walk with him long enough, you'll know his ways. And you know his ways are faithful, and he is always faithful to his promise, and he is more than faithful. He's able. All things are possible. All things are possible for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And his timing is always perfect. That's the other thing. See, sometimes we can think, wow, if I could have had, you know, the church would have been filled 15 years ago, we would have had this thing. And the church probably would have went in a whole different direction than it is. The direction of our church, you don't know, we believe that God wants us to raise leaders, raise people to go out, you know, that we would be their umbrella church and that we would have a relationship, but that people would go out and take what God has given them here and apply it to a world that needs. The world we couldn't fit the world in this building, but we could fit 200 people in here. And if we could send 200 people out, and we have seen the some of the fruit already. We have many ministers in a lot of different churches and in ministries throughout the world who've come out of this little church. I take no glory out of that, you know, no credit for that. But God has been faithful, glory to God, to bring it about. And I believe that's not the end of it. It's still, this is, we're at the beginning of it. So I'm really blessed. I'm hopeful about that. I really believe that God is going to follow through on the complete thing of his promise to us. The third word, is to wait with an act of faith. Wait with an act of faith. Now, it almost seems like paradoxical. And one of the things in Christianity is we have to learn to live in paradox, things that we're not going to understand, but we go ahead and do them because God has spoken them and we believe his word. It's possible, and the reason I say this, to wait with an act of faith, because it's possible to have a deep relationship with God and to just sit there. Well, I have a really, how many times have you heard that from Christians? I've had it, like millions of times. Well, I don't go to church because I have my personal relationship with God. I don't doubt that. And I think that that's powerful. But they're missing the point. The point is that we're supposed to co-labor with God to bring about the promise that he's made for us. So we can't just sit back and say, well, I have this relationship with God, and then expect the full magnitude of what God has made promises for us. There is some kind of there's something about the interaction of the body of Christ, both what we would consider negative and positive, that brings about our ability to co-labor to bring about the character and power and grace and all the virtues that it will take for us to fulfill the promise that God has made to us. He supplies the grace, he supplies the vision, he supplies all of that, but it takes an act of faith to actually bring it about. So waiting for God, not moving ahead, not trying to make it happen yourself, but saying, amen, Lord, and then whatever comes up to do it. You know, James 2:20 says, faith without works is dead, right? We've all read that. I can expand on it a little bit. I feel like I know God well enough, so I'm just going to put words in his mouth. Yeah. I want to say faith without action is dead. Faith without action is dead. Because, see, it's not just works. Sometimes we put that term works and we're thinking, well, I have to be part of the Bowery mission, or I have to go overseas and do this, and I have to do. And you know what? If God calls you to do that, then you need to do that. You need to do that. But faith in action begins way before you actually do the work. It's a position of your heart. So, faith has to co-labor and correlate with God actively in order to perfect itself. Did you hear what I said? In order for faith to be perfected, it needs to co-labor and collaborate with God actively. In this case, action is not that traditional, you know, work of ministry, you know. It's actually waiting with an acute expectancy for what he has promised. God has made us some incredible promises. And you guys, if you read Isaiah 58, and we're like, what? You know, that's where we got the name restoration, because it says that those from among you are going to raise up the foundations of many generations, and you will be called the repairers of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. When I look around, I don't see many in the other next generations. See, it can get very discouraging, but God has promised that, right? So it doesn't matter what I see or what I think. It matters that I do what's next to do. That's my active responsibility. It's God's responsibility to bring about what he's promised. And so however he decides to do it, in the timing that he decides to do it, that's what will happen. And I have an expectancy that that will happen. Amen. Amen. Because why? I am prepared spiritually, emotionally, and intellectually to respond to the prompting of God's Spirit when the time is ripe. Amen. For a particular thing to happen. That's my response. That's your responsibility. God speaks a promise to you. You may not see the promise and you may get discouraged. Well, remember what God has done. Wait with that, right? And then actively do the things that prepare you to receive the grace to bring about your part in whatever God is going to do for your life. Then you have an active part. You're a co-laborer with Christ. And that's necessary. I give you the example of the 10 virgins, remember? They're waiting, 5 are prepared, 5 are not prepared. We don't want to be in that side that's not prepared. You know, we want to be prepared. We want to get the oil. And at $2 a gallon, I mean, you know, let's go. Anyway, so we want to be, that parable is also called the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, right? So we don't want to be in the foolish side of it. We like the wise side. It's good. I've been a wise guy all my life. I mean, all right, so we don't want to be sit back wondering, you know, because that's what will happen. If you don't co-labor, if you don't have an active part in it, basically all you're doing is, I hope God is going to really bring this about. I wonder if he's going to. That's where your head goes, because you're not really engaged, right? Anyway, so in the church here, I encourage the people to live each day as if the promise was already active. Live it as if it was. And you could follow suit. I mean, you could see it in the scripture, right? Abraham knew that God was a God who called things that weren't as if they were. So why don't we live that way? Let's live that way, as if. I like it. You'd be surprised. You start as ifing it, next thing you know, it starts to actually materialize. And you go, wow, how'd that happen? Well, I know how it happened. The Holy Spirit must be active. Now, here's the caveat to that. If you move as if, there's probably, I'd say almost definitely, there's going to be prolonged periods where you're going to be definitely dry, where you don't see anything happening at all. But the key for us there is to not lose heart. You know, you call a brother or a sister in the Lord, you know, get prayer. This is what I believe God said. Well, yeah, brother, let me pray with you. You'd be surprised. Well, we've had a lot of prophetic training in the church. We believe that God is active in that way. We don't make it central. Jesus Christ is central here. All the gifts of the Spirit are active as God would have us use them. And we believe that we could ask God for any gift and he would then allow us to have, because we have access to it. So we have an active prophetic ministry here. So anytime you get prayer here, you can count on probably getting a prophetic word as part of that. But it's not like one of these, so saith the Lord, you know, we don't want to do the histrionics. We just want to say what the impression is that God gave us. Now for me, when I start, you know, feeling, well, maybe this is not going to happen, or I do what David did. And 1 Samuel, it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself. Some translations say that he strengthened himself in the Lord. It's the same word. It literally means that he made himself strong by encouragement. That's the literal translation of it. David made himself strong by encouragement. And I felt the Lord say to me, encourage, be encouraged and encourage people, because courage is the fruit of encouragement. When someone, a brother or sister comes and they pray, well, you know, and feeling low, whatever, and they need prayer, and I pray for them, my wife prays for them, and we encourage you to pray this way too. Speak encouragement. You don't have to lie. You don't have to make stuff up and be flowery and all of that. But if you ask the Lord will show you. The Lord will show you what it is about that person that his blessing is flowing into. You speak that, and what will happen is you'll speak something that the Lord has already spoken to their heart that has not yet come to the surface. And out of the mouth of two witnesses, the truth will be established. And in teaching too. You can only teach somebody, the Lord spoke this to me very clearly about a couple of months ago, you can only teach somebody something that they already know. So our congregation, we do these weekly meetings and stuff like that. We do books and we talk and we have a great time and all of that. But I don't know how, you know, if they think I'm like a superstar or something here. But I'm not. I just tell them what they already know. We read the books that God has led me to, that he said, I'm already speaking to their hearts about this particular thing. You say it again. And you do it in a congregational, you know, in a small group setting. And what will happen is the truth will be established. And when encouragement comes, because you've heard the Lord, courage gets built up in you. Courage to go forward in faith. Because, folks, it takes courage to have faith. It takes courage to really be a Christian. I'm not talking about just coming to church and doing the Christian hallelujahs and, you know, that kind of thing. And we need to do that. I don't mean to be making fun of that. But that's, you know, that's like baby stuff. That's what you do when you first get saved. It's goo-goo stuff, little milk here. But it's time. Come on, you've been people going to church for 20 years and they're not giving anything out. There's something wrong with that. That's what I think, anyway. Anyway, the fourth way. Anybody getting bored? Can I continue? Doesn't matter. I'm going to continue anyway. I got you.
We're just waiting.
Patiently, trusting. With hope. Nice. Okay, Lord, you heard him. Don't disappoint him. The fourth weight means to be braided together or twisted together. The word is, I'm probably going to say it wrong, quavahin. It's like a guava fruit, but it's not. It means to be bound together by twisting or braiding. And in this twisting together, you become one with the Lord. It's like, you know the scripture from Isaiah 40? You know, 40:31, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. That's how you renew your strength. You get like twisted together with the Lord. And when as you're getting twisted, as you're waiting, and this twisting happens, you get braided with the Lord, that process occurs only from a relationship first that you have with the Lord, a trusting relationship. But in it, the Lord draws you closer so that your mind becomes his mind. Your ways become his ways. Or his ways become your ways, I should say. Yeah, a lot better. I like to think about this type of waiting as a period that we're in right now. It's awakening. See, these are things that are already in us as Christians, and I made reference to it when we were in worship. See, we have the mind of Christ, don't we? We are the temples of God, are we not? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. It quickens our mortal bodies, right? Our mortal bodies are more than our physical bodies. We're soul and spirit, emotion, will. The Christ within us is the hope of our glory. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's not something that's going to happen in the future. This is something that we have right now. We are not moving in all of these necessarily in the fullest because we've not become awakened to it yet. It's not a condemnation. We're in a process of awakening. In this waiting, we're awakening to the things that are already true. They're already true. And we need to continue to encourage one another to move forward because there's a whole element of darkness that's moving against us that does not, and I'm not being paranoid, doesn't want you to come into that power. Doesn't want that light of God. The people in our church know this, but you know the word in Hebrew for division is the same root word as demon. The work of the enemy is to divide. Divide you from God, divide you from your brothers and sisters, divide you from your husbands and wives, your families. Divide you in your mind. Right? Double-minded. Two. And that's that doubt. You know, when you have a split in your mind, that's that doubt, that little voice that's telling you, arr! You got to tell them to shut up. If you're not as rude, you can say, be quiet. I don't feel like I have to be, you know, polite to the devil. He's a bum, as far as I'm concerned. You are a bum. So, as we wait, as we're twisted, as all of these, our mind becomes the Lord, you know, the Lord's mind, the result is that our emotions and our thoughts and our subsequent actions become the same as his. And this causes our strength to be increased. That's why those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And as that happens, our ability to accomplish his will for our lives multiplies. There's a multiplication. I love that about God. See, the enemy divides. God multiplies. He doesn't just add to. It's a multiplication. It's always a multiplication with God. The blessing is always double or more. So I encourage you to think about these weights. Because as we go through the next 20 years, if you're still with us, I'm probably going to need you to pick me up off the floor. You know what I mean? So somebody's got to get this, you know? Let's do it. See if I got everything here. All right, so we want to be like Abraham, right? We want to be fully persuaded that what God has promised, not just to the congregation, but to us individually, he is fully able to perform also. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Can I get an amen, brothers and sisters? Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to leave you with a for those of you on Facebook, you probably read this already, Pastor Marie's posted this on Facebook a little while ago, but it ends this message pretty good. So let me read it to you. It's Proverbs 16:3. I don't know. What version did you get this out of? Well, yeah, Proverbs 16:3. All right, never mind. You listen to it, you can tell me. It wasn't in the King James or the New King James, but whatever. Listen to this. Roll your works on the Lord. Commit and trust them completely to him, and he will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with his will. And so shall your plans be established and succeed. Amen? All right, stand up. Let me pray for you. That's it. Okay. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have an active faith even when we don't. That you have grace that flows, Lord, even when we're not even aware that it's flowing. But God, I pray that you would put us in places that would cause us to develop the ability to be open to receive the grace as you would give it. Father, that we would not try to compartmentalize and say, Lord, we need this, we need that, we need that. That we would come before you and say, Lord, you know what we need. Give it to us in full measure. And let us be able to receive it, God, in humility. For many times, Lord, we don't receive the grace because we don't think that we need it. We think that we know what it is that we need. And just break that in us, God. Yes. Bring us to self-awareness that we're not condemned by what we see, but we're set free by the truth that you reveal. Yes, and I thank you and I ask it over this congregation. And for those who are visiting, we hope to see them again. But bless them anyway, God. Yes, God. Let them take this message with them. Yes, God. And let them live it out. Let the promises of God be yea and amen in each life. Amen. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And the church said, amen. Amen. All right. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week.
We have coffee downstairs.
Yeah, coffee. Coffee.